Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. Summergrass San Diego is a bluegrass festival that takes place every year in Vista. The organizers of this event are doing their part to keep bluegrass music and the arts alive in San Diego County. Today we're going to talk about the upcoming festival, including some of the artists who will be performing, as well as other things you can expect this year. Joining us this morning is Summergrass San Diego Publicity Chair Yvonne Tater and Festival Chair Mike Tater. Welcome, Yvonne. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How many years is it now for Summergrass?
Well, this is our 16th year, and we're looking forward to another successful festival. We go from year to year, so we're just hoping that everything works out well for us. And so far it has in the past, and we expect it to continue on doing that.
This year, the festival promises to be another great one, some great music, and there's other stuff that takes place at the festival as well, and we'll talk about that. But how about we first start with going back to the beginning, when this all started, how it all started.
Oh, okay. There's two major bluegrass organizations in San Diego, the San Diego Bluegrass Society and the North County Bluegrass and Folk Club. And they both meet on a Tuesday night somewhere in the county. And we always have a great time, and there's some jamming outside. And my wife and I, we used to live up north. And when we came down here, we decided we need to talk to somebody about getting a festival going here in San Diego. So we kind of planted the seed, and the two organizations got together and said, you know, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go ahead and do that. So this started in 2003 as a Summergrass Bluegrass Festival, but we worked a little bit 2 years prior to that with the fiddle contest up in Julian, but we decided that we needed a different type of a venue. So one of the individuals from the North County Bluegrass and Folk Club by the name of Corky Shelton found the Antique Gas and Steam Engine Museum, and we went over there and negotiated with them, and they were receptive to at least trying it for 1 year. And once we were successful and they saw who we were and what we are all about, they just continued on and says, let's continue this and let's have a lot of fun.
So this is at the Antique Gas and Steam Engine Museum. What's the actual address? This is in Vista, right?
It's in Vista. It's 2040 North Santa Fe. It's behind the Guajome Academy off of North Santa Fe. But you know, if you're looking for it, you really can't miss it. It's a good venue. And what it is, it's an outdoor museum with old steam engines and tractors. And I think the oldest tractor back is a steam tractor, and it goes back to about 1890. And I think those are really cool because you have to have steam to make a move. It's like a train on big steel wheels. And the last I heard, the newest tractor was like a 1965 International Harvester, but I'm sure there's something a little newer than that. But it's a wonderful place. If you've never been there, even without the festival, you need to go and kind of peruse it and check it out.
Yeah, it's really educational. A lot of schools go there to take their students to learn about that period of American history, and they have educational programs there for all ages, really, as well as other, like they have Civil War reenactments there and farming days and that kind of thing. But it's a great place to go to just to learn about the history of our country.
And it's a great place for the Bluegrass Festival, for Summergrass.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They've been good partners with us, and we try to be good partners with them, and they've made a number of improvements for us. The first year, in 2003, we had a stage that was, oh, probably about 8 foot wide and about 2 or 3 foot deep and, you know, 6 foot tall.
It's really small.
It was really small. And the comment, as the bands would be going up to the stage, we would say, you know, you got to stick to the right because the left side, the termites have eaten away. So we had such a great time, and they enjoyed it well enough that they built this huge stage It's bigger than we need for summer grass, but they use it for a bunch of other things. It's unique up there at the museum because that particular stage is built without nails. They used wooden dowels and mortises and stuff like that. So they, you know, put the joints together and they drive a dowel in there, and that takes place of the nails.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. I've been going to Summergrass now for several years and plan on going again. The festival is this coming weekend, Friday.
It's August,
Sunday, August 17th through the 19th,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's correct.
And again, Summergrass is presented by the San Diego Bluegrass Society and the San Diego North County Bluegrass and Folk Club. Both of you were board members for the Bluegrass Society, right?
Yes, we were. I was president for about 4 years, from 2000 to 2004, and we had some major changes with personnel at that time. People were leaving. People were getting off the board, so I went ahead and was the president for that particular time. I still keep the membership up, but we're not board members at the moment.
The San Diego Bluegrass Society has a monthly get-together. Well, they have two monthly get-togethers, and one of the two on the fourth Tuesday always features a band. And one of my jobs still is booking that band. And we bring in local talent, and we bring in talent from L.A. And plus, Bluegrass Society also features three or four major concerts around the county, usually in the early winter and springtime. And the North County Bluegrass and Folk Club, they take on the job of doing campouts and that kind of thing. They usually have a couple of major campouts where people can come and camp and jam together, because part of bluegrass is jamming. You also have bands that play, but there's a lot of people out there that also are pickers, and they like to get together and play.
And so both organizations doing their part to keep bluegrass music alive and the arts alive in San Diego County.
That's true. That's true.
That's right.
We've had a couple of people travel to different parts of the country, and they invariably come back and say, hey, some of the best jamming is right here in San Diego. And that's pretty true. There's other places in the country that have good jam sessions, but there's a lot of other places that there's just, it's dry. There's nobody playing. There's no bluegrass. So that makes it kind of tough on people when they move and they have to look for a place to play or hear music.
And at Summergrass, there is jamming.
Oh, yes, there's
yes.
quite a bit. Pretty much all day long, and sometimes it goes into the wee hours, midnight, 1 o'clock, something like that. But we're kind of nestled in a residential area at the bottom of a hill, so we ask that you don't bring any electric instruments, because bluegrass is not electric. It's all acoustics, guitar,
right.
Banjo, mandolin, fiddle, dobro, things like that. So it doesn't travel quite as bad. So when you do play, it kind of hangs around in a campground. But I know that I've woken up in the middle of the night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I still hear a bass thumping. And it doesn't bother me at all. It actually helps me fall back asleep.
And I think in between bands, I've heard some of the jamming going on when I've been up there.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
There's
a real phenomena with some of our festival attendees, not just Summergrass, but at other festivals. People go to the festivals and they never go to the stage. They're out in the camping area or in the parking lot, and they're just picking with other people, and they never go to see the main stage. And they're kind of missing out, because we do have some great talent. But if their main purpose is to jam, guess what? They'll have a lot of jamming there.
And you have had over the years some pretty big stars that have played Summergrass,
Grascals,
right?
Yeah, we've had the Grascals, we've had Flat Lonesome, we've had Lonesome River Band.
Byron Berline.
Oh, wow.
Mark O'Connor. About 2 years ago, we had Molly Tuttle, and she was just voted Guitar Player of the Year for the International Bluegrass Music Association. It seems like we've been very lucky to have big names and maybe up-and-coming names who've gone on to be really well-known.
Now let's talk about the festival in more detail. The festival, again, this coming weekend, it's the 17th through the 19th at the Antique Gas and Steam Engine Museum in Vista. How much are the tickets?
The gate price Friday is $25, Saturday is $35, and Sunday is $25.
And you can buy tickets for all 3 days, can't you?
Yes, you can.
And so you individual tickets as individual days as well as for the whole 3 days.
That's correct.
And camping is allowed.
Camping is allowed. That's an extra cost, because whatever comes from camping goes right back to the museum. That's basically our rent for the festival, part of our rent for the festival. But yeah, camping is allowed, and you can, if you buy your tickets, you can actually camp from Wednesday after 4 o'clock through Sunday night. So you can stay overnight and you leave on Monday.
Okay, so they can come in early before the festival even starts and start camping if they want it.
Yes, and a lot of people do that, and a lot of people get their picking in those 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and part of the day Friday, so they can spend more time at the stage on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And what time does the music start each day?
On Friday, the music starts at 3, and the last band starts at 9, so it's over at 10. And on Saturday, it starts at 10, and it goes till 10 at night. The last band is on at 9. And on Sunday, the music starts at 9, and it goes till 5 o'clock. The last band goes on at 4, so he plays till 5 o'clock.
And are there any restrictions as far as what people can bring into the festival?
We don't allow alcohol in our audience area, and there's no smoking in the audience area. In reality, it's a county park, so there's no smoking anywhere. But, you know, no drugs, no alcohol, and please, no animals. It's hot, you know, don't bring any animals. If we find them locked up in a car, we'll call the police. And basically that's it. But you can bring in some food, you can bring in your chairs.
If you're camping, you can bring your dogs and pets and things like that out there, but not into the audience area.
So they're allowed, but just mainly if they're camping, basically.
Yeah.
Just not in the audience area.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about some of the music that's going to be happening at Summergrass this year. I have been told Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers is a group not to miss.
That's true. They're the real deal, has been said before. They're up for numerous awards at the International Bluegrass Music Association and Fan Fest in Raleigh this year, and they won a few awards last year. Joe Mullins is deeply rooted in bluegrass, and this is at least the second generation because his dad had a band, and Joe was actually part of that band for a while, and then he got out of the band so he could have a career. And something else to make a little bit of money. But Joe he's just a nice guy. I had the opportunity to talk with him a couple of times. And, he's very traditional. He's a traditional music guy.
And he's playing several times over the weekend, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He is. He's playing on Saturday at 4 p.m. and 9 o'clock. He's closing out the show on Saturday. And he's playing on Sunday at 3, just before our instrument raffles.
I'm hoping to get up there to catch him on Saturday.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I've been told he's worth watching.
Real deal.
Worth checking out.
He is.
Also appearing, the Jeff Scroggins Band, or also referred to as the Scroggins Brothers.
That's correct. Jeff is a winner of the Walnut. Is it Walnut Valley?
It's Walnut Valley or Winfield.
Or Winfield. Everybody knows Winfield. It as Winfield. He's a banjo player, and he's phenomenal. He's won the Winfield Banjo Contest. And, in fact, the banjo he's playing now is the one that he won back in the early 90s. Yeah. Nice guy. And he's got his son playing mandolin with him, Tristan. And Tristan is a powerful mandolin player, great mandolin player.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to miss them. They're great, too.
It's another band. He's more progressive than Joe. But he's not way over on the other end.
And that's the thing about Summergrass. It's not just all traditional. There's progressive bluegrass. There's the traditional bluegrass. It varies. That's one thing I really like about Summergrass.
We do try to offer variety because you have to have variety. And it's out there. I think we do a good job of it.
So. Yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah. A Summergrass favorite, one that I've seen, I think, every time I'm up at Summergrass, is Bluegrass, Etc. Now, they're from Vista, aren't they?
Yes, they are. All were kids there, or I should say not all of them, but John Moore, the guitar player, and Dennis Kaplinger, the banjo player, they all came from Vista as young teenagers. They played together, and they decided to make a trio, and they added a bass player as young people. And they had a really, really popular jam, and I think it was long about in the early 70s at Today's Pizza in Vista. And it would bring people like Rose Maddox in there and Joe Mafus and all these people that the kids knew, because the kids being bluegrass, etc., because they were out playing festivals. And, you know, time passed, and they got a little bit older, and they became teachers, too. They taught famous people like the kids from Nickel Creek. Sean and Sarah Watkins got lessons from Dennis Kaplinger, and John Moore taught Chris Seeley on the mandolin. Nickel Creek was also from Vista. So they are, Bluegrass Etc. is a hometown favorite, and they have so many fans. They just come in by the droves to see bluegrass, etc.
And, yeah. And they play more than once, too, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes. They play on Friday at 8, and they play on Saturday at 11, and they play again on Saturday at 5. They're one of the few bands that I know of that professional players from backstage will say, well, I got to go out and watch bluegrass, etc. play. I don't hear too many people saying, I have to go out and watch this guy play or this guy play. It's always bluegrass, etc. John Moore's a phenomenal guitar player, phenomenal mandolin player. Dennis is the same thing. He's basically the go-to banjo player from not from L.A., but when somebody needs some banjo in the area,
they call him.
They call Dennis. Dennis is just a phenomenal banjo player. Yeah.
And Steve Spurgeon, another great player. He played with Byron Berline for years, did his own solo act. He's a wonderful songwriter. Wrote Irish Rain.
Walking the Irish Rain.
Everybody recorded that practically. And so, yeah, they're just a powerhouse trio.
Tell us about, you've got local talent performing as well, not just, well, of course, bluegrass, et cetera. Technically, they're local, but you've got other local talent too, right?
Yeah, we do. We have bands that you'll find throughout the county playing in different places. We have Blue Creek and High Mountain Road, and Central Valley Boys are a California band. They're up from the Central Valley, obviously, with the name. And we have a few bands from the L.A. area, Shinbone and the Corzines and Gilly Girls, and then my personal favorite, Virtual Strangers. Obvious, because that's my band. But one of the things that when the festival started is I always would like, and one of the things I mentioned when we were talking about the festival is starting it, is I would always like to have at least 6 spots for local bands, because it would give them a chance to show off what they do, and it would give them a chance to play on a major festival.
Really to up their game.
Yeah.
Right.
Give them something to look forward to so they can coalesce into something that's stage worthy.
Yeah.
So
there are some other things that are happening at the festival besides the music. You have a kids camp too. I wanted to talk about that real quickly too.
The kids camp came not the first year in 2003, but in 2004, and it has been very successful. We've had a minimum of 35 kids per year. One year we even did 50 kids, but yeah, there's a small tuition charge for 3 days, but we have a touring band that comes through and are the faculty. So this year, Alan Bybee in Grasstown, which is one of our headliners, is the faculty for Kids Camp. And they are very good teachers with kids. So they're teaching kids all about the rudiments of bluegrass music on their instrument as well as singing. And the highlight for Kids Camp is Sunday at noon. The kids play on stage as the stars,
nice,
along with Alan Bybee and Grasstown.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a big highlight. There's lots of cameras, parents, grandparents out there. It's a big deal. So, yeah, we're very, very proud of Kids Camp, and we have some big names that have come through there. John Mylander, who now plays with
Bruce Hornsby.
You know, a lot of kids that have started have grown up and are playing music, so.
Can people sign up for this camp at the festival, or do they have to do it ahead of time?
Usually they can, but this year I just found out it's closed.
Full.
You're full.
We are full.
Okay.
It's full. Yeah, but we take kids from 6 to 16, and we teach them on a specific bluegrass instrument, something they'd like to play. So they could learn to play the banjo, or they could learn to play the mandolin, or the guitar, or the bass, or the fiddle, or the dobro. So we cover the bluegrass instruments, and singing. And you can usually tell who the parents are, because when you stand on stage, they're the ones who have the biggest grin on Sunday watching their kids play. It's wonderful.
And you have free workshops too, don't you?
Yeah.
We do.
Those workshops are free with a paid attendance, and some of the topics we have are Friday night is our Get Acquainted Jam. People can come up there and just jam and get to know each other, those that are new to the festival. Then we have a slow jam after that. If you're kind of just starting to learn how to jam, we have a great teacher, Eric Nordbeck, who teaches people that are, you know, maybe closet pickers or something, get out their instrument and just figure out how they can fit in at some of these jams. We have Mountain Dulcimer on Saturday. And that's a beautiful instrument that's really has to do with the history of bluegrass music. Meet the Band, where we have the Scroggins Brothers on Saturday. And Sunday is Joe Mullins. You can actually meet the band, and it's a question and answer session. And Fun Theory for Bluegrass Music is also offered. If you like music theory, that's on Saturday. We have a face painting guy. Sugar Bear the Clown is there for the kids to get their face painted. So
all kinds of other activities.
Oh, yes.
Aside from the music, and you have vendors there as well, and there's food too.
There's food. Yeah.
Lots of vendors. We've got a big vendor village coming this year. I would say we're close to 20 vendors already.
Really?
Yeah, lots of vendors. All kinds of unique products. So if you're a shopper, which most of us are, well, I'd say some of us are, you like unique things, this is where you're going to find it.
Yeah, we sell festival T-shirts, and whatever you do, go home with a festival T-shirt, because that money helps keep the festival going. And they're usually nice shirts. We have a nice artwork this year. We have our logo, our standard logo, but we have a nice artwork this year. So.
And this year they're being made on site and with different styles. So you can come up and pick the color you want, the shirt you want, everything, and they'll make it right there.
Oh,
for
really?
You.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the museum has a concession stand there, so there is food. You do take a dinner break.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We take a dinner break on Friday, and on Saturday we take a lunch break and a dinner break. And on Sunday we take a lunch break, and we're done by dinner time. We're done by 5 o'clock.
And they have great food. You know, it's all the, like, home-cooked meals. You can get burgers, fries, hot dogs. But they also offer farm breakfast if you're a camper. They have great breakfast up there. And ice cream, pie, coffee, just about you name it, they got it.
Now, we're just about out of time. I did want to mention your raffle, because you always have a pretty cool raffle every year.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. I just can't explain. Martin Guitar has been a sponsor for us probably for 10 years, and they always give us a nice Martin guitar, whether it's a D18, D28, D35, or whatever. This year we have a D18. It's in our possession, and it's another one of those wonderful instruments. And the Deering Banjo Company, which is a local banjo maker, makes fine banjos, has been on board with us since day one. So this year, as usual, we're giving away a Good Time banjo. It's a very, very playable beginning banjo, and it's wonderful. And then we just received the Lore Mandolin from the Music Link Company up in the Bay Area, and they've been with us probably 5 years or so, and they always give us a nice mandolin too. And periodically through the days on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we actually have what we call the demo band, so you can actually hear the instruments and know that they're real instruments, and you can learn to play them, and they will play.
Yeah, the demo band gets on the main stage between two bands and plays one song with the raffle instruments.
I think I saw that last year. I do remember seeing that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So again, Summergrass coming up this Friday through Sunday, the 17th through the 19th, at the Antique Gas and Steam Engine Museum in Vista. Can people get tickets at your website?
Yes, they can. You can get tickets at summergrass2018tickets.eventbrite.com or go to www.summergrass.net and get tickets there.
Okay. And you can get tickets again for individual days or for the entire weekend, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Now the San Diego Bluegrass Society and San Diego North County Bluegrass and Folk Club, both nonprofit organizations, right?
That's correct. That's
correct. And we are always looking for people who feel especially generous and love the music. They become great super fans and sponsors for Summergrass.
Yeah, the organizations got together to put the festival on. So it's two organizations that help put the festival together. And they're both nonprofits, as is the museum itself. So it's a total nonprofit weekend. And everybody there is a volunteer. Nobody gets paid except the main bands. So when you come up to the main gate, who's working behind the ticket booth, that's a volunteer. And people who are helping shuttle people back and forth, they're volunteers. The people who are setting up things are volunteers. So, and we're always looking for donations, so that's always a good thing.
And the money that if somebody wants to make a donation, they can earmark that for Summergrass, can't they? They can make
Correct.
A note when yes. they make that donation online.
Correct. Correct. Right. If you're gonna donate money, you can make out a check to the San Diego Bluegrass Society, and just at the bottom in the memo area, just say directed for Summergrass, or just say for Summergrass. And the same thing with the North County Bluegrass and Folk Club. Make it out to the North County Bluegrass and Folk Club, and just put a little note in the memos that this is for Summergrass.
All are very appreciated and tax deductible.
That's
okay.
true.
Are tickets available at the event?
Yes, tickets are available at the event. And so far we haven't sold out, so we still have a few left.
Okay.
But, we have a lot of fun. And, you know, you come up to the front gate there and you meet a lot of nice people. And, yeah, tickets are still available.
That's great.
And we do take credit cards.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the website again for Summergrass?
www.summergrass.net.
Okay. And you're on social media too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook?
Sure. Yes, we're on Facebook, so go to our Facebook page and see what is the latest there. And, we have a presence in social media, and I would like to say that Summergrass is a great place to go. We're not super huge like some festivals, and we're not real tiny. We're just right in between.
I think it's great.
A family reunion, really.
Yeah. I think it's great. Again, I've gone several years. I'm going again this year. I look forward to it. Yvonne and Mike, thank you for being on the show today. I appreciate it. Thanks for helping to keep bluegrass music and the arts alive in San Diego County.
Thank you,
and
Gary.
Hopefully I'll see you up there next
Great.
Weekend.
We're excited.
Thank you very much, Gary, and thanks for having us.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.